So we were in the middle of the sugya of Shasita, and I asked you if we could kind of hash out. We allowed four possibilities of why, of what a food's function is. Only l'achila, only l'refuah, primarily l'achila, primarily l'refuah. And the Gemara speaks about Shasisa, which is rakat, which is l'refuah. And the question one has to ask is, does that mean sometimes l'refuah, usually l'refuah, always l'refuah? I think it's fair to say in our context that we can dismiss one of those three, which is?
Always.
No, I don't want to dismiss that yet. No, not
never.
Sometimes a refuah. In other words, the food that's sometimes a refuah is a refuah that's lachila, which is sometimes used for refuah. I don't think that. What?
Chicken soup.
Chicken soup. Okay. I don't think, right. No, chicken soup. Now, why is chicken soup not a good example? Yishimi is correct that if any Jewish grandmother will tell you chicken soup cures most ills. Even when you eat chicken soup when you're sick, you eat it because, not because it, you eat it because you need to eat. It provides you liquid, nutrient-rich liquid, and it feels good. So of course you eat chicken soup. Let me ask you a question, Boaz. If a person is starving and they eat a hamburger and french fries, is that food eaten before?
No.
Really? Because they would die if they didn't eat it.
You're going to stomach it after.
Well, I mean, if they haven't eaten in 60 days, yes. But the point is, you wouldn't say that that's the refuah. All food is the refuah, because guess what? If you don't eat, you get sick, very sick. You die, in fact. That's guaranteed. It's one of the two things you get certitude, starvation. So the point is, when you have chicken soup and you have a cold, we wouldn't say it's the refuah. I don't think that would not even be called eating. It's not that you're eating the refuah, but people look at it and say it's also lachiba. No, that's eating it because the chicken soup tastes good and makes you feel good. And chicken soup doesn't have curative properties. You know. It might nourish the soul, but not necessarily cure the body. So I'm a big fan of chicken soup, don't get me wrong. So I don't think that's a good example. I think you have to be looking at a food that has... You have to, I mean, and like a nikkur might be a good example. The problem is, I don't know what a good modern example is. Part of the challenge is that food has changed. I don't mean ishtanu atzvayim, but once upon a time, what kind of foods did you eat for the most part? Whatever foods you could get your hands on, whatever calories you could get your hands on is what you ate. But you didn't have nutritious, I mean, Chazal do talk about some kinds of nutritional advice, but fundamentally speaking, cultures had their food, the stuff that was grown mostly locally. I know you may not believe this, but when I was growing up, and even 25 years ago, you couldn't get fresh blueberries or fresh strawberries, probably, not this time of year. You go into the fruit store where you can get anything, just not everything, but almost anything you can get. That's because, which is probably not good, we fly foods in from South America, because they're on during the winter, they're in the summer. We fly stuff from California. I'm not going to make fun of California now. I'll let Jake do that if he wants. Jake's from California. If he wants to make fun of California, he can. California is actually probably, well, I would say outside of grains is the agricultural powerhouse of this country. You don't realize how much stuff comes from there outside of kind of the basic grains. Probably not so good for the environment. To be moving all the stuff the way we do. But once upon a time, it wasn't even a possibility. You ate what was available locally. You ate whatever calories you could get your hands on is what you did. So it's kind of, today, if you're careful, you eat a diet and know you have, you do have carbs, you don't have carbs, you have, make sure you get some fruits and vegetables because they'll keep you healthy, because they'll give you, because they have phytochemicals in them, et cetera, et cetera. We think about food a little bit differently than they did. And look, many of the diseases that we have, there are certain things that nutritional deficiencies always exist, the vitamin deficiencies. But in terms of the, putting aside the called vitamin aspects, once upon a time, if you basically have no sustenance, eating sugar is probably not that bad for you. Because your body can, it never gets stored as fat. It goes straight through. Right? It goes straight through your system. It gets burned up immediately. It doesn't create most of the problems that we associate with diabetes. Now, it may not have much in the way of nutrients, it just has energy. So you really, even if you're starving, eating only sugar is probably not so great.
Well, sugar
is probably a catalyst. What's that? But, so again, so our entire shkafa The way we look at food is totally different. It's hard to talk about something, what it means eating something is for a four. Right?
You do have to, like, sometimes, like, talk about, like, some things which are, you know,
I said there is such stuff, but this is, you know, it was not an obsession for people because your choices were somewhat limited. And they probably understood basic aspects, the effects of fiber and things like that. I mean, they, you know.
Keep you a good example of a food which will consume their sector.
What food?
Tea.
You know, I could say that. I only drink tea when I have, you know, trying to protect my first. But I think most people who drink tea do so as a beverage, not just when they're sick.
Well, when they're sick, obviously, they'll drink a little beverage because they want to be hot.
So they're
right.
A ginger tea.
So maybe. That might be, you can see how hard it is to find those lines.
If that's only if you insist that everything that has nutrients must be consumed with nutrients as well.
Well, help me. Where are you going with that?
I would have been happy with chickens, but since chickens are nutrients, so therefore people must be,
I don't like chickens better because chicken soup doesn't cure for anything. Chicken soup you consume just because it makes you feel better. Even when you're not sick, when you're cold, eating a hot bowl.
I don't think people think it really is a four.
No one would look at it and say it's medicine, right? I think that what it sounds to me, the things that we're describing are things that you could describe as food or as medicine. I don't think American chicken soup, we would say chicken soup is medicine. Anybody would ever describe that as medicine. I could see the tea is closer.
It's Tylenol medicine, it's just symptom relief.
If it isn't medicine, then we should be able to take it on Shabbos without them saying that.
No, but the point is that nobody. No, again, I don't know. What? It depends which kind, that's the point.
No, but how does drinking porridge help you feel better?
You're asking a medical question, I don't care. They thought it was done, they thought it worked.
Right, so that chicken soup worked also.
So nobody thought chicken soup was medicine. That's the, you know, having hot, steaming stuff may help you a little. If you can just, you know. Shimmy, they're defending you. I like you. Okay.
All these household remedies for stuff that, you know, a few years ago.
I mean, think castor oil. I don't think any of us were put through that scourge, even me.
I'm sure, like, the Shabbos in Syria had stuff. Like, I'm sure they were tasty, but
they're
also
I think what we're looking for is something that's. I don't know. Yeah, Lewis?
I feel like this might exist more commonly in, like, people who are into, like, holistic herbalist medicines, right? They'll, like, squeeze, like, certain cocktails to treat something, right? You could drink it normally, but it's very targeted in how they're doing it.
My dad gave me vodka for a
I don't know if you should put that on tape. Child services might come. Yesterday he gave you vodka for a cold. You're not old enough to drink it anyway. You're not old enough to drink that, right? You are under parental supervision, yes. You may be fair, Ezra.
So maybe I missed something. Why is there determination what people think is medicine and not stuff that requires? My understanding is flu is an outcropping of, like, pink rice stuff.
I'm looking for food. Look, we have our four foods, things that are clearly only food, things that are clearly medicine, right? Your Tylenol is medicine. I'm arguing chicken soup is food, and I'm trying to find things that fall in between, where you would say it's a concoction that people might eat, but usually it's eaten, you know. I'll give you one. Here's a better example. Let me give you a better example. Eating horseradish straight. Now, when you have a cold, if you'd like to burn a hole through your sinuses so you'll be decongested, I recommend highly horseradish. Not mixed with beets, not the sweet stuff, the sharp stuff. Right? There are other, and it's much more palatable than, like, onions, raw onions, which are, like, all of them can be hard on your stomach, so then you need to take Tums. to offset the effect of the horseradish. Have you gotten on an empty stomach? Yes, James?
As a vitamin C smoothie.
Or hard at that point.
What's that? What is it made of?
You buy it from the store in a refrigerated aisle, and it's a concoction of different fruits and vegetables, and it's labeled as a...
They juice them, or...
Yeah, and they have a lot of vitamin C.
Okay, so that might be, that, you know, where people normally, they might drink it as a beverage, but it's primarily for the, for these, right, so there's a different issue in general, like vitamins we don't assume are subject to exertion for because you're not a chola, it's not chalbrium. But you're right, you are right in terms of that model. We could find, the problem is that vitamin C doesn't, you know, I mean, doesn't actually work, you know, people take for cold, take vitamin C for colds, but what?
Isn't it good for seasick?
I have no idea.
Oh yeah, scurvy.
Yeah. Right. Yes, if you don't, correct. If you have scurvy, then vitamin C is helpful. Well, that is correct. You know, it's the idea that vitamin C prevents the common cold. Right? And that's
just,
well. That's not a bad example. Right, if something, we keep, the only soda that's kept in our house, there's a can or two that sits in the refrigerator outside. Nobody drinks soda. I don't drink at all. And nobody really drinks soda. But it's there for exactly for that purpose. For when someone is sick and trying to keep that can, get liquids down, fluids down. It seems to be easy on the stomach. I don't know why. But that's what that seems to be a popular notion. So you can drink ginger ale. People won't drink ginger ale. Some people like it as a flavor. You know what the Balchuba's version of it is. Ginger kale. Not my line, but it's actually a brilliant, brilliant line. There's someone who wrote about, she's in LA, I think, in one of the universities in LA, Sarah Benor, I think. I don't think Frum Speak is her book, but she studies in languages and cultures, right? So the Frum culture has its own language. And someone who's coming from outside of that doesn't necessarily master it, so that's why they think, oh, it's ginger kale. So.
I think that in Mauritian circles, people also...
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. But no, you know, in the spirit of Hanukkah, we can say, you ask the person who's about Shiva, how many candles we light tonight, and they say, last night we lit six. So.
No, somebody actually announced that in my show on Friday night, that if you haven't lit candles yet, last night we lit one.
Okay, they're having fun with that.
The old men do that.
What?
The old men.
Yes, that's the joke. That's the whole point. They don't, right? Think that when you're giving somebody the cat, you tell them what was yesterday's, because you can't tell them today's. Yeah.
I think that just the general test, asking whether or not it applies. I mean, it applies once there's a zera, you know, which are not created through shkika.
Right. Right.
Anything which is a refua, even if the production doesn't require any.
Correct. For example, the prohibition of exercising on Shabbos. You know, where you would be sweating, not being this amlin, is part of zero shifua. Right. So, what's that? Right. So, you know, ironically, you know, so, you know, where exactly those lines are is an interesting question. You're allowed to walk on a hot day, ironically, playing basketball, and I don't recommend that on Shabbos, let me make it that clear. But playing basketball on Shabbos just because you enjoy it might be different than playing basketball because just there's the exercise to stay in shape. Right? The former might be, it's less problematic than the latter. It's complicated. But you are correct. It doesn't only apply to things that are created by grinding. And it doesn't only apply to foods. There are nihugim. Even like, not setting bone, we would say if a bone is broken, you can set it. But let's say a joint is all about a whack. The Gemara talks about whether it's motor to, that may also be a Indian question. But some of the stuff that the Gemara talks about, whether you're allowed to do to the body is not ingestion, but also could be subject to it, could be part of zero so forth. Okay. So anyway, let's just accept accept their categories, okay? Sorry that, again, it's important on the one hand, but I wish we had some good, clear examples, but our world is very different than their world. So it doesn't translate, I think, as easily. So let's go back to the stages in the Gemara. The first step is, Rav Chisda says that Shmuel says Shehakol on Shesisa when it's Rach. Rav said it's Shehakol. Rav Chisda says, Rav says Shehakol. Rav Chisda says that Rav's position is when it's Rav, when it's lerefuah. So Rabbi Yosef says, if you're talking about shesisa, which is made lerefuah, if you're claiming that shesisa that's moist, that's very loose, is made for refuah, so how is it that you're allowed to make it on Shabbos? Because you're only allowed to make it because you can consume it, and you can't consume it if it's really refuah. So what did he assume? Did he assume that it was exclusively the refuah, or did he assume that it was primarily the refuah when he asked the question? Now, you could say either way right now. Right? In other words, we know already, you know looking ahead, that there's going to be a category of foods on Shabbos that are dual use, that are permitted. You know there's a category of something which is dual use and is mutter on Shabbos. Rabbi Yosef said one thing, and Abaye is going to challenge her. Abaye quotes that Mishnah and says, what do you mean? Don't you know? But what in fact do we say, how do you explain kala ochel adam l'refuah, kala mashkin m'shos l'refuah? So you say that gava l'achila kamachav ein refuah memela kahavya hachanam l'achila kamachav ein refuah memela kahavya. So Abaye says, no, dual use stuff is permitted. So what was Rabbi Yosef talking about? And then, by the way, the Gemara at the end says, okay, and what's the chiddush of Rav telling us that you make a shahakal on it? No, we can say it's obviously not mezonos, because it's not mason, it's not its purpose, and it's not what it does. A flour heavily diluted in a fluid doesn't provide sustenance. You're not going to get a whole lot of calories that way. Obviously, it's not barring mezonos. So what is the chiddush that Rav, and you're doing it for refuah purposes. So the Gemara's maskana is you refuah, because you're doing it only for refuah purposes, that you don't even have to make any bracha. Kamash laman, since you're nene, and I presume nene means nene of achila, there's still some pleasure of consuming it, then you have to make a bracha. When you consume, if you take Tylenol, you make a bracha on it? Why not? It's not food. It doesn't taste anything. It's not like, you know, the Tums, you could argue maybe you should make a bracha on it, I don't know, right? Because it tastes good. I'm not quite sure that Tums, you know, but if it's not chewable, for sure you don't make a bracha on it because it's not food. Right? It doesn't taste good. There's no hanas achila from it. It is going down your gullet. There's such a word, but in human context. But it's not. It's not anything you would say that you're nene from hanas achila. Obviously, you're nene because it makes you feel better. But it's not hanas achila that you're getting from it. Okay, so. What are the two? So let's take a look for a moment at Tosfos. Yisalka daitech l'refua. Avidlei, refua b'shabes misharim. So Tosfos writes, the sober, the chevan she'ikara l'refua, ve'ein regilus la'asoso l'tzerech achila asur b'shabes. But those two don't necessarily go together. Those two things together, it's a little tricky. On the one hand, he says, ikara is l'refua. So you could say it's dual use, but usually it's for refuah purposes. But then he also says, "Ein regilus lasos l'tzerach achila." Now I guess maybe they're consistent. It doesn't mean they never make it l'achila. Some people like the shesisa on the liquidy side, but normally people only make a liquidy when they want it for refuah. So ikaros for refuah. Some people it's for achila. So Rabbi Yosef was assuming, he was not assuming that shesisa by definition was kulo l'refuah, that it was exclusive for purposes. Nonetheless, he objected. He said that if its primary purpose is l'refuah, it should be also on Shabbos. Abaye responds to v'atran kala oflin, demashma b'denokat kala oflin, da'afilu she'ikaro l'refuah, kevan sheroi l'achila shaper dami b'denokat kol. So Abaye's response, according to Tosos, is that you're wrong. A food that is ikar l'refuah, but sometimes people eat it, that's exactly what the Mishnah says is mutar on Shabbos. Because eris refuah only covers things like Tylenol. Tylenol's not even a food. I mean, it would cover Tylenol. But let's say you had a particular food concoction. Castor oil. Nobody would consume castor oil without trying to cure, I don't know what it's used for. What they use castor oil for? I have no idea.
Everything.
It might explain a lot of scarred people. So castor oil, you would say, is kula l'refuah. Nobody uses it occasionally, you know, I'm a little hungry now, I think I'll have some castor oil. That doesn't happen. Therefore, that's asr, but a shasisa, which is ikar lo for, but sometimes people do eat it, so then it is mutter. Okay. So the Gemara now, the Tosfos continues. Utzricha de Rav ude Shmuel. It's a question whether Shmuel's in here at all, because it's, you know, in your Gemaras, is Shmuel taken out in parentheses?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to. I think in the older editions, my Oz Vahadar, I think it's not taken out. There's no parentheses. I noticed. Also, have you noticed? Anybody here have the new Oz Vahadar? The bought Oz Vahadar recently? So look on the halachos Enish but near mitzvah. Do you see where you have Nun Gimel and letters Ches and Tes?
Yeah.
And what do you see that you don't typically have around the halachos?
Rambam's in brackets.
Yeah. It's in brackets. Now look in your Gemara at the Ches and Tes. Are they in brackets? What?
Oh, mine are in brackets.
Yours. In the Gemara itself?
Oh, in the Gemara. The actual letters?
Yeah, Ches and Tes.
No.
But in my edition, my other Oz Vahadar at home, it is. And somebody, I don't know what the nomenclature, I assume it's somebody put it in later, it should either be in brackets in both or neither. How many of you have brackets in your Chesed Tes in the Gemara itself? And have I never known which edition people are working with? Are your letters Chesed Tes bracketed or not?
No,
okay. And what about on the side in the Yom HaShoah and Mitzvah? That's very odd. But at least, I believe this is a new one. The one I have at home is an older edition. So I don't know what changed, but I think in the older edition, Ushmuel, they didn't have note on it. It's just in the Gemara. It's Tzricha d'Rav d'Shmuel, and it's an Achlokas Achron, and whether or not this is really be there or not. In the simplest reading, you don't know why Shmuel is there, but Shmuel said you make a mezonos on it. So, and the Gemara, even you can ask the question, why did Shmuel need to tell us that? Shmuel already told us, Kol she'yesh bo mechanesh haminim. Yes, but the Gemara never explained. Then the Gemara never answers the question. The Gemara only answers, why does Rav have to tell us to make a shahakal on it on when it's l'refua? Right? Shmuel told us to make a mezonos on it when it's l'achiva. Rav told us to make a shahakal on it when it's l'refua. Why was that necessary? Okay, so the Gemara's answer to that was, so Tosfos explains, Utricha the Rav Ushmuel, Depshita Lemasnisan the Shari the Shabbos. The Mishnah teaches us, we understand what the Mishnah is teaching us. The Mishnah is teaching us that even though it's Ikar the Refua, it's Mutter. That's the whole point of the Mishnah. Even though its primary usage happens to be the Refua. Nonetheless, since it is eaten by people, you can eat it, and we will say, you know, you need to eat it. But Aval the Rav of the Shmuel Ashkin and the Lonema. Kevan the Ikaro the Rafua Lo Librecha La Klal Kamashvul and Keva the Nishani Mine Boy Baruche, but in Mikomakon Lo Yevarech Ela Shahakol Kevan She'eno Osir Liso Ki in Lishos. Okay, I'm going to stop here in Tosfos right now. The Tosfos, it makes sense. It's not Mizonos because that's not its function at all. Therefore, you make the Shahakol. Right? Tosfos is a binary. It's Mizonos or Shahakol. The Rashbaz, you know, is going to ask the question the other way. So according to Tosfos, the shasisa is a davar that ikaro is rufua. Some people use it achila. Rav Yosef apparently did not realize. Rav Yosef didn't realize that if it is ikaro the rufua, if it's some people eat it even though it's ikaro rufua, he thought that should form the gzeris rufua, and therefore that can't be what shasisa is. And Abaye said, "What are you talking about? That's the Mishnah in Shabbos." Okay, how did Rav Yosef not know that Mishnah? There are two possibilities. One is he somehow read it differently. The second possibility is he forgot the Mishnah. How did Rav Yosef forget the Mishnah?
I don't know. It's hard to remember all the Mishnah.
Because Rav Yosef got very sick.
And
all throughout Shas, Abaye is reminding him of things that he had said.
That's right.
So it is conceivable, and you could have. Nobody said that. The alternative is he read the Mishnah differently. Right? He said, Kola Ochla and Ochla Rafua, as long as its primary use is Lachila, even though you're using Rafua, it's Mukha. But as Tosfos reads the Gemara, that's not what's going on. It's primary purposes of the Refua, but Tosfos has to be Medayim. But he says, Kol Ha'oslan. He's Medayim for now. It's not explicit in the Gemara at all. Okay, now let's take a look at the Rashba. Who would like to read the Rashba for me? Louis. Thank you. The spirit of volunteerism is alive and well. The only time it's ever looked at you to be using your phone in cheer is right now, because I know the rush bot is on the phone. If you don't have the rush bot separately.
I picked it out, but I'm not sure I'm going to print that one.
Okay. Go ahead. Shasisa. That's the maskana. So kashali.
Kashali. The few abdele rukua, my habit. The baretale, pray kri adama.
Yeah. Okay, so he's going to say, Mazoma, I understand why not, but why not make Adama? Go ahead. Right, in other words, why not make a bar pri adama? It's flour. And say that it is the milfei kai, it retains its status, like kemach achitim. There was an obvious answer he doesn't give. What's the obvious answer to the question?
I mean, once you, it's not, you name it.
Now, I understand why it's not mizonos, but why he says, why not hadama?
Because you ground it up into flour.
And, right, he's going to say, flour earlier, Rabbi Yehuda says it, kimuchat achite is bar pri adama. He's going to say, if you don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, it's one thing. If you hold like Rabbi Nachman, then fine. But if you hold like Yehuda, but I don't understand the first answer.
Well, maybe you hold like Tosfos, but that Mar is not talking about actual stops.
So that is, but here's the problem. The problem is that came out all the Rishonim here. The Rambam, Rani pointed out to me, and the Ra'ah and the Ritva, and you can prove it that the Rashba also thought that way. Read like Tosfos does that Kimcha Dechite there is Kemach Koyos, not actually of the regular wheat. So for most Rishonim, whether they pass it like Rabbi Yehuda or they read the Gemara as only talking about Kemach Lamech, almost always Shonim come to the conclusion there that Kemach Kvayos would be Hadama. Maybe because Rav Nachman and Yehuda are not arguing about it. But that won't solve our problem here. Right? Because most Rishonim say here, this is Kemach Kvayos. Rashi says it, and a whole bunch of Rishonim say it. So that would have been nice to get, and so that makes it worse here. Right? There's no way, come out everybody. Rabbi Yehuda for sure holds that way, and maybe even Rabbi Nachman holds that way. Now, what's the obvious answer? I thought.
The water.
What about it?
If you diluted, it's like more water.
It's an Iker and Tafel question, and it's not Mizonos Shaila anymore.
It's not a Tahoe then?
You didn't think about that. Hope you're listening, didn't you?
You're saying the Koshi Shulia is when you're saying Mizonos on the Minim?
Well, the statement is Koshi Yeshua Chersaninim, Marach Levar Mizonos. And I presume the fact that it can be automatic eco status is precisely because of its nature being done. That to me seems such the obvious answer. But okay. So now the last part continues.
We have a time alone.
So if it's a shakol, then it makes sense, right? If you pass like a nafman and you assume it applies to even kamachfaya, so fine. Now I understand why it's a shakol. Ela'i. Right, in other words, we pass the like a Chista here. That's accepted. So, Reka Shahakal. V'yim Toma.
V'yim Toma. V'tevan d'lo mitaven ele refua v'yoma lo mevartin ale ele shakul.
If you want to claim that by definition, any time you eat something only for refua purposes, it's automatically a Shahakal. Which means, in effect, it's not really achila, but since you're nana, hanas achila. Your kavan is not achila, but since you're nana, hanas achila, then you have to make a shahakol. He said that's not true. Why? Vashemin.
Vashemin al yidei ashrion. Kepa de mesavein l'rekua, levarfin alei, bere kri ha'eitz.
That was the sugya we did. When do you make a bere kri ha'eitz when you're drinking olive oil? You can't drink it straight out. Not like those crazy people in Spain who did shots of olive oil. So you can't drink it straight. The answer was ayudei anigron. The Gemara had to make sure that it's ayudei anigron, whatever it meant that in this case the shemen was the ikar. So what are you doing there? You're having, so he said, continue. He doesn't spell it out, but the point is you're having the shemen for refuah purposes, and yet that's the place where it gets a bar creates. What do you mean? You should say if you're doing it really for refuah purposes, it should be a shahako by definition. In other words, anigron when you eat it when you, with shemen in it, you consume because you enjoy the anikon, you make kaadama. It's beish lakos. But when you're doing it for the purposes of the olive oil, then it's the refua, and therefore you make a shahakal. No, adrabah, do you make kaitz? So he says, Eshalomar.
Eshalomar, it is shani hafa, the kevon shin darko de anot minanu, the haki, el refua de alma, the any kar hanato the haki, lomavarkinan ale, el shakul, the lav de milte kai.
In other words, you are, this is not the normal way you eat this food. The way you eat shasisa normally is thick, and you eat it as mizonos. You're now eating this in a way that it's not normally eaten for a purpose that it's not normally eaten, and therefore you make a shahafal. It's no longer the same thing. Aval. That is the normal way you are nene from shema and zayas. In other words, when else would you drink shema and zayas? The answer is you can't, because you can't drink it straight, but you can drink it through anigra. So since that would be the most normal usage of drinking shemen, and you focused on the shemen, therefore that gets the bracha bari creates. We'll finish then. What's actually? Right. To drink it straight would be masik. So you drink it ayin and go, shu. Okay, so he says that is, you know, if the normal way you consume this, the normal way you eat this, even if its purpose is the refuah, but if this is the normal way you eat it, that doesn't remove the bracha. The only bracha, in theory, it would have removed is mezonos if it's not zon anymore. But that's in a mezonos case there. But in our case, it's not the normal way of eating shasisa, and therefore, and the reason why you're eating it in the abnormal way is because you're doing it for four purposes. Therefore, it's a shahakol not ha'adama. Continue. Okay, so that's part one. Part two. Ooh, so this, how does he say? Does he say like Tosos?
It's like you never drink it.
He says not like Tosos. Right? Tosos understood the machlokas Rav Yosef and Abaye over a primary lirafua, but sometimes lachila. Rashba doesn't put that on Rav Yosef. He says Rav Yosef assumed that shasisa raka, this is the way he understood Rav Cheskana, I think this still stands the maskana, is never used for people fachir, it's only used for refua. Rav Yosef said, how is it possible that it's motor on Shabbos? And Vahainu, in other words, sometimes. The primary purpose of the anigron might be medicinal. But, in fact, it's almost... How do you know that anigron's primary purpose is... Well, I mean, it's... How do you know that its primary purpose is ayude anigron? Our prime purpose is the refuah. Anigron's prime purpose is the refuah. Sorry. I have a word salad in my head.
This goes back to what we discussed with the like how we want to read the Rashba, the view, the Dura. A little bit like,
well,
is it truly Kavanah, or is it like an evidential amount of...
So yeah, yes, it does. I'm thinking going back to more basic. The Tosefta, which talks about not using Peros Shvias and Peros, you know, and Maser Sheni and whatever the third thing was, Itshumari, Ayidei Anigron, because that's not normal Achila. Right, so that suggests that it was mostly a refuah food, and the shemen would have been right, and the shemen would have been for the sore throat. So the Rashba assumes that sometimes people drink it. The famim, they drink it. The shalom echam asafur. That's not the norm, but sometimes. So hashtanami. Saman, right. The reason why the Gemara wasn't concerned, the reason why anigron is not a kasha. against Rav Yosef is because that's something people sometimes do as achila, and therefore it's not subject to the Xeras Rafua. The Ik on the Misle. The Shias Hanah, but Amokim. In other words, we can be told that we can look at his behavior and say he's not doing it for purposes. He's doing it because he enjoys it. The low. Right, so that's why they made no distinctions by Anigron. Aval. Okay, so Abaye, Rabbi Yosef thought that since shesisa is always made, that when you make it loose, it's always lurifua and it's not for achila, he thought that should be prohibited. If that were true, he's always reading Rav Chisda that lurifua means only you only use this for lurifua purposes. He says, how would shikras be mutter on Shabbos? That's why Abai didn't ask them for any groan. Instead, he asked them from the Mishnah, Kola Ocho Adon Lefua, the Mashna. Okay. Now, so he says that Abaye's argument, this is, he's saying that Abaye's response is that Kama Ofa means even things that are exclusively Lefua. Now, there's a problem. Where did Xeris Lefua go? If you have, let's say you have a medicine, you have, I don't know, cough syrup. A cough syrup doesn't work anyway, but as they finally announced, they've been robbing the consumers for decades. Yeah. Well, the primary ingredient cough syrup does not work. Kind of staggering, actually. I mean, it may make parents feel better if they give their kids medicine for their cough, but it actually doesn't do anything, you know, physiologically.
Placebos aren't important.
It's not clear with having a placebo effect either. So.
Oh, wait, what? How does that?
Not all medicines have a placebo effect. Well, it doesn't always happen, is the point. It's very powerful. So the question is, what's Xeris Rafua on? So the Rashba doesn't spell it out. The Ra'ah and the Ritva both say something, which is really, really interesting about this. First, it's a totally different mahal from Tosas mahal. Tosas thinks a davar that is really essentially all the Rafua is asa. Even though it's food. Now, these Rishonim might, I don't know if they would differ in practice, but why is it that Shasisa then is mother? Yes, sir.
The Rosh Hashanah not basically spelled out. You basically said that anything which doesn't give you sustenance is also. So if you're eating something that's food, it also builds you.
No, it doesn't give you sustenance, it's not mezonos. That was clear.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it's not food, that therefore it's also. And he says explicitly it's a food that's meant only for four purposes, and yet it's motor on Shabbos. It's not subject to Xeris Rafua. You make a shakl on it because you have Gen Hanah Sachila. Why? So there's a fascinating argument the Ra'ah makes. The Ritva is just quoting this. And he says that if the food is motor, the ingredient maker, just because you make it more diluted, can't make it us. Right? If Shasisa, the reason why, normally, he would agree. Normally, a food that's only the Rafua purposes is also this, but that's Xeris Rafua. Why is Shasisa Mutter? Because he doesn't say it this way. Now, I'm going to put it this way. You start out with regular Shasisa Ava. And what do? You start to add water. And it starts to get more liquid. So you say because you add liquid to it, that makes it also. And it gives the following analogy. Well, here's the following riot. He says, let's say I have wine. And someone is sick, and they need to dilute the wine very heavily to drink it as a cure for their illness. So instead of diluting the wine 2 or 3 parts water to 1 part wine, which was normal for them, instead he dilutes it 9 parts water. So, for that, what's that?
It's hint water now.
So he says, obviously that's water. And so this is the same thing, right? What are you going to say? You're good. You're very good, except for you said Rayasa Tzarafraya. That's what we saw. Oh, I didn't do that with you. That's the Romanian about the Issa Shinishtana. The Rush says, the Rama and the, I'm sorry, I learned from different places. Yes, you get full credit for that. He said, Arva Tzarach. You know, you never have a true guarantor because the person who surveys the guarantor, how do you know he doesn't go broke? So, Arva Tzarach. So either it's just quoting differently the story of Musk, which some of the Rishonim think is from a gland of this animal, which it is, and some think it was from the blood that is converted in the gland into this musk, which is not blood. It's an Issur Shinishtana, and the Rama thought it was Al-Satib, Rabbeinu thought it was Mutter, and Rabbeinu Yonah brought a raya from stuff falls into the vash, and we know that stuff that falls into the vash, eventually the honey converts it into honey. So if you have bees' legs or other kinds of things, a piece in the vela, like Rabbeinu Yonah, that falls into honey, and if the shana into honey, then it's Mutter. So this is the same thing. And so the Rush says, Ach Rayasa, Tzarech Raya. He's bringing a raya from the honey that falls into the vela falls into the vash, but it's not clear that he's right there either. So he sets up an analog, but he's made up the din by the analog. We don't know if that din is correct. So that's what Ephraim is saying here. Who says that's true by wine? Who says that doesn't run into the exact same problem? Maybe if you dilute wine past a certain point, it is now only the refuah and it's us. That you want to argue here that you dilute the shafisa past a certain point. Okay. Fine. Anyway, bottom line, apparently, what did it make shafisa rock on? Shafisa ava might be making it a problem to make on Shabbos because of Lisha. Shasisa Raka is not a problem of Lisha, but you have to think about Rafur, but it's Mutter anyway. Okay, I think that ends our foray into Mizamas. We did the Pasavahakitsa later. So now we have to turn our attention to the Nusach of the Bracha, the Hamotzi, and I think that's what we'll try to get through today. We'll have a wrap with that, but now we have to spend a little time on this. So the Mishnah says, Shalapasa Omer Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. What's the proper accent on that? I won. Yeah?
Hamotzi Lechem Min
Haaretz. Fine notes. Rani knows. I said Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz.
Which
said? Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. He said Hamotzi.
Hamotzi Min Haaretz.
No, it shouldn't be Milara. Pasuk is Milael, it's Nasog Achor. So the Pasuk that you all read this morning but maybe didn't notice, if you're like most human beings from Druze or humans, it does notice was Lahutzi Lechem in Aretz. Why is the accent on the hay? Normally we never walk, you know, we never walk by saying Lahutzi, we would say Lahutzi, because of a phenomenon known as Nasog Achor. That don't ask me what the rules are. Nobody knows what the rules are. I only know small pieces of the rule, but no, I don't think anybody. There may be people know. I have not found. When you have two words that go together, meaning the first word is what we call having a truck that's known as a misharet, it's connected to the next word. Have most of you who lane goes lane for the bar mitzvah is? Okay, so. Okay, Yonatan, you didn't lane for your bar mitzvah?
I did.
But you didn't raise your hand. Okay. All right. Nobody, by the way, nobody needs their phones anymore. We've read the Rosh Bar. So we only need our Gemara's now. So, so if you know that Mapach Pashta, right, there is no such thing as a Mapach not followed. There is no Mapach not followed by Pashta. It doesn't exist.
I don't know what the terms you're saying.
Shofar Hafuch, and I don't know what Pashta is. It's
Shofar
Mupach. Shofar No, the Shofar Mupach, I thought, isn't that, so maybe it's not what it's called.
There's no marker here on the erasers.
When you have like a little sideways V under the word.
Yeah.
Shofar Mupach.
Shofar Mupach.
Yes. Okay, so that is Misharet, and it's always followed where we call it Pashta. A looking from your angle on the last letter of the word. You never, what?
A Kadma.
Oh, but that's not a Kadma. There's a difference between a Kadma and a Pashta.
One that is in the middle of the word?
A kadma, the accent always goes where the accent is always put where the accent goes. It's usually, it's not only, it's often followed by an asla, kadma the asla, it's followed by kadma mircha tivir, it's followed by other things. But where's a pashta is a mafsik.
Okay,
and the way it's written, this is everybody, names might be different. The way it's written, a pashta is always written after the last letter, and if the accent is mila'el, then there's two. One where the accent is, and one after the last letter. Where's a hashta? That's a hashta. Whereas a kadma, there's only always one, and it's wherever the accent is. God save you, in rare cases like either b'shalechacha utochav shimeima, or lahatzilecha v'latet oyevecha lefanecha. The first one is a kadma. The second, b'shalechacha is a kadma. It's attached to the next word. Lahatzilecha v'latet oyevecha lefanecha. Any of you somewhat regular Balei Kriya? That's a very rare trap there. There are about 15 in Chumash where you have not kad. The normal sequence is kad ma'apach pashta.
Yeah.
But about 15 times you have pashta ma'apach pashta, and it changes the whole punctuation of the sentence. So lahatzilecha v'latet oyevecha lefanecha is one of those. The problem is lahatzilecha ends on a chaf. There's no ein hakriya afterwards. So the difference between whether it's a pashta or kadma is whether you put it in the middle of the chaf or at the end of the chaf. Right. That's the only way you can distinguish. Okay, anyway, coming back to our thing, whenever you have a misharet, it's attached to the next word. So sometimes, if the accent on the second word is on the first syllable, it will, and the accent normally on the word that precedes it would be milara, on the end of the word, sometimes it pushes it back because it's awkward to pronounce two accented syllables in a row. So, for example, the word vayomiru, whenever it's followed by the word lo, it's vayomiru lo, with accent backs up. Or I'll give you an example where it happens, it shouldn't happen, and I'll explain why now. Vayotzeitz tzitz. Not vayotzeitz tzitz, but vayotzeitz tzitz.
I'm going to say
what's that? Vayotzeitz tera. Vayotzeitz tzitz. These are both examples of nasogahar. Nasogahar means to kind of move backwards, be pushed backwards. Now, lahotzi lechem min ha'aretz is the same thing. Normally the word would be lahutzi, but in that pasuk in Barchinashi, it's lahutzi lechem min haaretz, the accent on the head. So that's why even those who are very careful in their kiriyah should be push the accent onto lahutzi, hamotzi lechem min haaretz, presumably it behaves the same way. All right, so now let's begin this piece. Who would like to read for me? It will truly be an up. Okay. It is matin for you in particular. All of it's matin for you, but more than anything else, this piece is matin for. Okay.
The Rabbana. Marzul Omer, Hamosi Lechem Min Haaretz. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Mosi Lechem Min Haaretz.
Right, so they're arguing about whether you put a hay on or not. Okay.
Amar Rabbana. Be Mosi, Ule Alma, Vlapeluhe, Be Apek Mashma.
Okay, so to understand this Gemara first, you have to know Aramaic. I have to understand our name. What is the apek mashma? Shehotzi. Right. Apek is a past tense, or what we usually call past tense. Understand, what's the root of the word apek?
Like that. Okay. Like two.
What's the root? What are the three letters around it? Nun pekot. Okay, nefach is a binyan kal in Aramaic. What does nefach mean? He went out. Yatsa. The apek is a binyan afel in Aramaic, which is, you might guess if you know the binyan in Hebrew, binyanim in Hebrew, equivalent to hif'il. What is the hif'il in Hebrew? I feel like I'm talking to a wall because they don't make you learn Hebrew here anymore. Causative. Yatsa, he went out. Hotzi, he caused to go out. He took out. Ba, he came. Hevi, he caused to come. He brought. Lavash is he wore, put on. Hilbish means he clothed somebody, it caused someone else to wear. By Yalbesha, so big day, shish. This week's parsha. Always. This week's parsha, last week's parsha, next week's parsha. So, what's that?
A theory holds.
Here I could be guilty of tipping the scales, but I wasn't even thinking of that. It's just what came to mind. So I haven't done Chata'ei Animas Kariyom. I haven't done Shnei Mikra yet this week. So that was for you, Boaz. So it's not a chet yet. I have told these till Kiddushah this morning. So that's what Aramaic has the same thing. It's called Af El, like you feel. The first letter is not part of the root in any way. but it usually gets a patach, and then the first letter of the root, hif, il, af, el, the pei, peapoal, gets a shva, naf, usually. So, af peit is really an peit, like hipil is hin peel. So, an peit means he took out, he caused to go out. So, when the Gemara says that everybody agrees that motzi is af peit mashma, it's telling you past tense. How would you say it in the present tense before even you go further? Well, how do you say he is bringing? Who? Bringing. Mevi. He is taking out. Hu motzi. Hu malbish. It has a mem as the prefix in the hove.
Sure.
What?
Sure.
So in Aramaic it would be mapek. In fact, you know where you know the word mapek from? What do you call a dot in the hay at the end of a word?
The mapike.
Why is it called the mapike?
Huh.
In fact, there is another kind of mapike in the middle of the word. It's marked with a shva. In other words, like pidach el v'namihud. Pidatsur, which you might have been reading about in the Siyam, is nothing under the hay. It's silent. But pidach el v'namihud, it's in Parashat Maaseh, is a shva under the hay. Yihyeh is a makeke. What is makeke? You are motzi the hay. What does that mean? You articulate it. A hay at the end of a word, asad, you don't hear the hay, it's silent. But if you have no gas, you're motzi the hay, you pronounce the hay. That's
so
why
I
it's called.
I think makek would be the opposite, that you don't pronounce
that. No, makek is your motzi. You pull it out, you bring it out, you articulate it. Yeah, like motza sefasecha. You're makek the hay. You like that, Ronnie, huh? Okay, go back to your Shabbos table and ask everybody, why is it called a mapike? Okay.
See, how many people at your Shabbos table know what a mapike is?
Your Shabbos table,
they
all know this table, and I wouldn't be surprised if your father looks at you and say, you didn't know that? I didn't even know your father, but I just
right.
Imagine, you know, he said, like, Rami, you didn't know that. All right, so, the stiv, how do you know that it can be found? Now, again, motzi in Hebrew is present tense. It's not... I don't want to go at great length. It's not a present tense, what they taught you throughout your, whatever, if they taught you Hebrew, is not a verb. It's actually an adjective. It's called a participle. But it's fundamentally an adjective, but it operates like a verb. Right. So, do you believe me?
I understand.
Gadol, gdola, gdolim, gdolot. There's only four forms. Shomer, shomeret, shomer, shomer. Why are there only four forms? What happened to first, second, and third person? They teach you, ani, ata, hu, shomer. Very nice. But that's not built in. It's because it's an adjective. You know, I am tall, I am watching. It's a verbal adjective. Anyway, so...
Wait,
the
Dalit?
So, yeah, is just chef.
No, but I'm saying, I read the quotation, like the apostrophes on the outside of the word as around a peg.
Correct.
Which that, in other words, it could be different. But you could say that the word motzi means shehotzi. I'm saying the dal would be part of the quotation.
No, ha motzi would be. Yeah, the ha, you're right. Ha is the dip. Okay, this is the other part. Do you want me to teach you this?
Yeah.
Does anybody else want me to teach you this?
It depends on what it is.
Yeah.
Here's a general rule. When you want to have, when you want to have the relative pronoun that or which, if it's a verb, you use asher in biblical Hebrew almost all the time. It's pretty standard. You say asher halach or asher yelech. When you have a participle, you very rarely use asher. You normally use ha. Ha yoshev b'cheshbon. That's an exception because it's asher yoshev b'cheshbon. You have in Sefer Yoshua, hehalachu ito, which is bizarre. It's also got an aleph at the end. It should have been asher halachu. But normally the way, that's because it's not a verb. You use asher. And in later biblical Hebrew and in rabbinic Hebrew, she or de, which is the Aramaic, you use that with a verb. When you use in biblical Hebrew, when you have a participle, you have what they quite use the hove. Normally, it would be haholich. That's the normal form. There are rare exceptions I gave you. Asher yoshev b'cheshbon. That's very exceptional. The other thing, by the way, that goes along with this is how do you negate a verb? Lo halach, lo yelech. How do you negate a participle? Well, in modern Hebrew, which has degenerated, it's now lo yodea, which is that becomes the language. I can't do anything about it. I can protest it. But what is the original correct way? Ein. Ein yodea. So you negate it. You don't really stop. You don't really the yesh. But if, when you do have yesh, like yesh, where is it called? When you have a verb that follows it. Now, most of the time those are nouns, but anyway, you would, ain is, when you want to negate a participle, you would say ain. In the same way you say in last week's parasha, inenu gadol b'bayis hazeh inen. Right, there is none, there is no person, ain ish shamei ansha habayit, so there was no man. That's not a verb, it's a noun. So when you would say ein yodea, or ein yodea, there is no one who knows. That's the way you negate it normally. There are rare exceptions, but that's the norm. Okay, so either way, hamotzi and de'ape, the de translates the hey. Right? If you just had motzi alone, you would say apek, or if it could be that. Okay, so everybody agrees, I'm sorry, but the motzi alone is mashma who took out. Right, this is Bilam's bracha. God who took is not is taking them out of Egypt. God who took them out of Egypt. Okay, ki pligi hamotzi. Rabbanan savrei gahad. That it also means apik, not only but also. Right, God had already at that point, this is Parashat Ekev, I think. Yes, it's not this week's Parashat, last week's Parashat, last week's, but okay, the rule has been broken. So God was not taking out water from them from the rock in the 40th year. He already had taken out water. Hamotzi l'chamay mitzura chamish. And Rabbi Nechemiah, go ahead.
Rabbi Nechemiah, Sabah, Hamotzi l'mapek mashma.
Now, I guess Rabbi Nechemiah holds that it also is mashma. Not only, but also mashma. Maybe the Chachamim would say it's only mashma. But hamotzi etchem mitachas lo mitzrayim. Now, why is that not past tense? How do you know it can't be past tense? It didn't happen yet. That was, you know, by the four lashonos of Geula. So, it didn't happen yet. But the Chachamim say, Rabbanan, read very well with the right emphasis. Right. In other words, when I take you out of Egypt, you will know that I was the one who took you out of Egypt. Which, by the way, is not actually an unreasonable reading. Right? Vidatem, at that, and that's when I take you out of Egypt, kiyani hamotziyechan. That's probably pshat. In fact, I'm willing to bet you, and the targum, opus, on that pasuk is da'apekis.
So you look at it.
I'm sure it's probably da'apekis. I'm almost certain. I bet you in my targum I have a note about that. I'll point you to the skinar. So
what's funny is when before we read Rabbanan the high school for us, but that's not the
best.
There you go.
See? Sometimes you just have to read to the end of the Gemara. Okay. So now the Gemara tells a story. Go ahead.
Shabbachin me Rabbanan, Rabbi Zera, et bar Rab Zevi, Ahu ha television on, bar Rab Zevi.
Which is pretty funny. There's other things in the Kitzei Yad. I forget what it is. But this is, they were praising, the Rabbanan were praising in Rav Zeva's presence, the son of Rav Zid, the brother of Rav Shimon, the son of Rav Zid. Like, he doesn't have a name, but it's sort of funny. Like, well, of course, the son of Rav Zid is going to be a brother to one of the other children of Rav Zid.
It's
burned
on the close, by the way. It's Hashem Alakafun.
The apekis, it should be.
It's the
apekis. The apekit, right? Not the apek.
The way it's spelled here is the apek. I don't know.
Oh, maybe. No, I guess you're right. You will not that. I guess shehotzi, right? It's not shehotzi. I would have thought it was shehotzi, but okay. I want to check other manuscripts, actually, the good editions of Opus. I don't know what that is, but okay. So anyway, so they praised, they talked up Bar Rav Zvid.
Yeah,
Okay. Yeah, next time he comes to you, bring him to see me. He wasn't so happy. He wanted to get in the machina. Time to be new his prophets. Go ahead. He said, Mosi. Yeah, so if he had said Hamotzi, he would have explained, taught us two things. Firstly, we would have understood what the word Hamotzi can mean. And secondly, we would have known that we passed on to Rabbanan. But if he says Motzi, which even the Chachamim is Moda, it's good, so my Kamashman. And this is a very strange question.
Kamashman doesn't hold like the Rabbanan.
Well, that could possibly, but here's a more important point. Do the Rabbanan, well, it's a different question. Is it okay, according to the Rabbanan, to say Motzi? Is it okay for one of us to say Motzi?
Well, that's not what the Gemara seems to
imply
here.
Correct. Well, the Gemara sounds like, which is odd, that again, the machlokas is the Chachamim get to Hamotzi because they understand that that's what the word also means. That doesn't mean that, at least until we get to this part, that doesn't mean that according to the Chachamim, they don't care what you use. It may be they were misakein Hamotzi lachem and arts. Okay, so now the Gemara defends this fellow, whoever it was, the Ihu. Yeah, it sounds like he could have done either way. So since Motzi lechem and aretz would be properly understood for both the Rabbanan and Rabbi Nechemya, so therefore that's why he chose to do it that way. And the Gemara says, so the question, of course, that remains is, what is the maskana of the Gemara? Could it be the maskana of the Gemara is that dafka hamotzi as opposed to even hamotzi? You can't tell. Okay. Now, in the Yerushalmi, did anybody see that? I didn't ask you. Anybody look at Yerushalmi? So what did you see in the Yerushalmi?
The
first part is who's talking in the Yerushalmi? Who are the fellows? Rav Nachman and the Rabbana. Is that the same as here?
No.
The names sound alike, but those are Amoraim. These are Tanan, Rabbi Nechemya. But obviously Nachman is the same root, same name. But Rav Nachman, presumably there is an Amora. So it's a little interesting that the way this, the Bavli has it, is it's Machlokas HaTanoim, Rav Nechemya, Nachacham. Okay. Now, what else did the Yerushalmi have to say? So the real question all the Rishonim will grapple with is, why say Hamotzi if you could Yotze L'chol HaDeos? Thoughts?
Tosfos says it's because you don't want to be
Ma'arav. Ah, so let's, thank you. Please, now your Chavrusa read so much, so go ahead.
Me Tosfos. Yeah. So the Avoki does Motzi is really Amalot Ligi the Afrik Ma'ashma. The Rishonim is very common. Tishlola Arav HaOtios Tidon Ha'olam Motzi.
That's one of the things we have next to Nesta Dagoli in the Kiyot. We can see one of the second parrot, and we will see that the Gemara will list the eight places in Kriya Shema that you have Devekin. You have letters you have to be careful to separate, of which the only person in the Shirim has to worry about all of them is Rami. So, because only in Rami's reading tradition is Hanaf the seal and Esav the Sadacha. Do they remotely be Hafada Ben Avekim, which just means that the way at least those Amorayim, at least some slice will pronounce it, is like close to what the way some Syrians actually pronounce it. We would never have a problem of Esem Bisadacha or Kanaf Pesil, because one is a Fe, one is a Pe, one is a Fez, one is a Fez, if you pronounce them as distinct as we do. But anyway.
Kanaf and Pesil are not
very similar. Okay. So at least have their halfway there. Okay. We are further away from the tradition. They are far away, we are further away. What's that? All right, so the Yerushalmi says, Kedei Shalom Arba Osias. Now,
Right, so now that is the Yerushalmi's question. How does the Yerushalmi answer the question? What? No, it doesn't say you say lachamin. It says elameata, you should say that, and you don't. Yerushalmi doesn't answer the question. That is funny, because I mean, I guess the Yerushalmi is saying that it's so ridiculous, because what would it mean, hamotzi hamotzi lechem hamin har? What does it mean? What?
The species of the ground. Very
You're just saying that for fun, right? Because you know what you're saying is.
Well, if you say the man with the chaser yos, like, you can say it. You can fight for it.
Just read Tosis. So, anyway, Yerushalmi doesn't answer the question, but Tosis does. Tosis says, "Aval gadol lachem min nami ika eruv."
Yerushalmi has them decrepit.
Okay, so since if the pasuk is that way, we do change the pasuk. We change it from lehotzi is the infinitive to take out to hamotzi lachem min haaretz. Fine, and that Tosos cannot resist just telling us this beautiful practice. Now, Cain. Are there actually 10 words in that pasuk? There are. Don't trust those. What's that?
Because
that's
what I'm going to use to count for a minute now.
Good. Matzmiach hotzi lehema ve'esef lavodasa adam lehotzi lachem min haaretz. Okay, that's good.
Funny enough, I've heard somebody use the
Berakha from the city. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, you can do that. As long as they don't say the Shem Hashem, it's fine. That's pretty funny. I like always the suggestion better. Okay. So the question that the Rishon will grapple with, we're not going to explore this, but why not say Habore Pri Hagafen, Hagafen?
You don't need to.
Yeah. So that's the answer. That's the answer some propose, except that that doesn't really answer the question. If you accept the Yerushalmi, yes. If you don't accept the Yerushalmi, if you assume that the Chach, and the Bavli doesn't make any such mention. If you assume that there's an adikus to doing it that way because it teaches you Ashmin and time of Ashmin and Hilchasa, so then it would make sense that you should also do Habore Pari Ha'etz. Yeah, so again, if you think the really driving issue is that you want Hafada Ben Adikin, so you're right, so that's not necessary though. Not necessary at all that, because Bore begins with the Beis and Olam ends with the Meh.
Would it be
Habore
or
Habore? It would be Habore Pri Hagafen. They're all Habore.
Yeah, they're all Pri.
No, they're all Pri. Pri Adama, Pri Ha'etz, Pri Hagafen.
So. Oh, because it's Pri.
Yeah. Okay. So our practice is to say Hamotzi Lachem in Arch. Okay. Any questions? Mm-hmm.